at the times that we are in right now and all the things that are going on in the world, it can seem quite overwhelming and stressful, I think, with mass shootings and threats of terrorism and racial issues and the race to the White House and all the propaganda around that and the sensational coverage of that and platforms that you do not agree with. All of that can seem overwhelming and stressful and create some anxiety and worry, and that in turn kind of saps our energy. So I think at this time in our history, more than ever, we are being called to know that there is an infinite intelligence that is right at the center of everything that is going on. I think that we are being called to trust that there is a divine intelligence unfolding itself in this moment. I think that we are being called to remember that this is an evolution in consciousness that is taking place, and this, what's going on today, is part of that evolution. I think then we are called to go out into the world from that place of centeredness and from that place of being anchored in spirit and anchored in ourself and anchored in that truth. And then from that place of being anchored to be the presence of love, to be the presence of peace and the presence of wisdom, to take that out into the world. To be love and wisdom and peace and equanimity and equality and all of those characteristics that we are longing to experience in our world. But in order to be centered and anchored, in order to take that presence into the world, in order to know that that infinite intelligence is right where we are, we have to be anchored in ourself. We have to be anchored in our oneness with the divine. Our oneness with that intelligence. And we have to be anchored in our own faith. And so the title of my talk today is Dropping the Anchor. And I'm talking about dropping that anchor, us taking our own anchor and dropping it in spirit so that we are deeply rooted and anchored in that presence. I'm talking about dropping that anchor so that we can be at peace amidst the storm. So that we can be centered and therefore be effective in the world at creating the world that we want to live in. I know for sure I want to be able to be centered in peace and to have a sense of inner peace and calm and well-being amongst the storms of life and what feels like tumultuous seas. I'm imagining that everybody in this room also would like to have a sense of inner peace and calm as we move through these times, yes? Anybody else want to be there? And so I think the very first thing, if we want to be centered and anchored in that presence when life is rocky and tumultuous, is to remember that as human beings, we have a negativity bias. And what that means is that we notice and focus on what is negative in the world. It is left over from caveman days as a way to stay safe from predators and from threats. Because think about it. If you were a caveman or a person from times a long time ago and you're walking around and you came upon a squash plant and you didn't see it, the chances are you'd find another squash plant or fruit tree or something to eat. But if you came upon a tiger that was ready to pounce on you and you didn't notice it, you wouldn't have a second chance. It was imperative that you noticed what was threatening, what was negative, what was scary, what could be threatening to you. And so our brains are actually wired to see the negative. Our brains are wired to see the negative and to remember those negative instances because that kept us safe way back there. In fact, studies show that it only takes an instant to recognize a scary, angry face in pictures, and it takes us longer to recognize the happy face. In an instant, we recognize the anger. It takes 12 seconds of focusing on a positive experience for it to get moved from your short-term to your long-term brain. An instant versus a second. versus 12 seconds. So we perceive the negative easier and quicker and hold on to that, and it gets stored in an easier way than it does the positive. And so even though we say that we'd really like to be at peace, and even though we really do want to be at peace, what happens is we get into fear and worry. We make up stories about what might happen. We make up worst-case scenarios, and then we examine them from every perspective. And you might have noticed in your own life, you can get so distraught and so angry over something that might happen, it's as if it's already happened. We can work ourselves up and have that mental reaction, that emotional reaction, like it's already happened. I love the quote from Mark Twain. He says, "I've had a lot of worries in my life, most of which never happened." Isn't that the truth? So what happens is, as a result of us making up those worst-case scenarios and telling ourselves those what-if stories, is our body reacts like it's actually happening. Our subconscious mind and body is not able to tell the difference between a story that we tell ourselves and actually experiencing it in our lives. We have the same body reaction. So we are in that body response, and we feel overwhelmed, and we feel anxious, and we feel stressed out, and we get depressed, and we feel drained. And I know that you all know worry is self-defeating because it isn't based on a fact, and our worry doesn't resolve anything. It's a waste of time for us to worry about what might happen. I know a woman who for years has been having such a hard time sleeping because she is so afraid of a burglar might break into her house. And so one night, her husband heard a noise in the house and went downstairs to investigate to see what was going on. And when he got there, sure enough, he found a burglar in the house. So he says to the burglar, "Good evening. I'm pleased to see you. Come upstairs and meet my wife. She's been waiting for you for 10 years. I think we can all relate to that. What happens when we're in fear, though, is it closes our heart. You might have noticed when you're in fear, you're not very open to other people that you meet on the streets. You don't feel very friendly and kind and loving and open to interaction. When we are in fear, it closes us off from our intuition, and we can't think clearly. What is happening is that we have forgotten that that infinite intelligence is at the center of what's going on. We have forgotten that the presence of the divine is in the middle of it, right there in that situation that we're concerned about. And so Joel Goldsmith says, all dis-ease is the result of our being hypnotized into believing that the material world is more real than God. And Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, says, fear is a belief in limitation, a denial that the divine is the center and source of all good. We have forgotten that God is the source of everything that's going on, that God is the source of the good that we are desiring to experience in that moment, and that presence is right there in the middle of the situation. And so I read a story this week that I want to share with you that is actually a true story. The year was 1799. George Muller Massena, one of Napoleon's generals, suddenly appeared with 18,000 French soldiers on the hills above an Austrian town of Feldkirch, which Feldkirch had no means of defending itself. The town council was hastily called together to consult about what was to be done, certain that surrender was the only answer. After much discussion, the old dean of the church reminded the council that it was Easter, and begged them to hold services as usual and to leave the trouble in God's care. They followed his advice. The dean went to the church and rang the bells to announce the service. The French soldiers heard the church bells ringing and concluded that the Austrian army had come to rescue the town. They broke camp, before the bells and vanished before the bells had even ceased to ring. And that is a true story. Let's leave it in God's hands. Let's know that there is an infinite intelligence unfolding itself through this thing that looks like strife. Let's know that that infinite one is in the middle of my own situations and circumstances that I find difficult to deal with. Let us be anchored in that knowing and in that truth. You all know that fear and worry do not influence the outcome in the direction of what it is that we want. It just doesn't. It immobilizes us. What happens instead when we are in fear is we just add to that collective fear and we become immobilized. We become stuck and don't come up with creative ideas and solutions of what to do. And so I've been reading a book this week that comes out of the HeartMath Institute. It's called Transforming Anxiety, the HeartMath Solution for Overcoming Fear and Worry and Creating Serenity by Doc Childre and Deborah Rosman, PhD. And so I'd like to share some of the tools that are in this book as tools for you to use when you find yourself being stressed out or anxious or worried. And so one of the things that it says in this book is your heart has its own nervous system, or, quote, brain in the heart, containing around 40,000 neurons. This heart brain can sense, feel, learn, remember, and process information. And that comes from a study that's quoted in here. There are more nerves going from your heart up to your brain than from your brain to your heart. With every beat, your heart sends neural messages to the part of your brain that govern emotion and higher reasoning capacities. Any change in the rhythmic pattern of your heart alters the pattern of neural activity that your brain receives and affects the way you feel and how your brain processes information. So your heartbeat sends messages to your brain which affects your reasoning and your thinking and your perception and your problem-solving abilities. Because your heart has that intelligence and it is reading what's going on in the environment. So when we feel stress or when we feel overwhelm or worry or frustration, what happens is the rhythm of our heart becomes erratic. You know when you look at an EKG machine and it shows your heart going up and down like this? It makes it go erratic. There are pictures in the book that show how erratic your heart becomes when you are worried or concerned or stressed out. In turn, then, you do not think as clearly, you do not learn as easily, you do not reason as well, and you do not make as effective decisions. On the other hand, when you feel positive emotions like love and care and compassion and appreciation, it creates a smooth, harmonious heartbeat on that EKG machine. And what happens then is it actually pulls your brain waves into rhythm with your heartbeat and makes them also smooth and harmonious. It pulls your brain waves to be in sync with your smooth beating heart. And in turn, that makes your emotions and your thinking more harmonious and more peaceful. So studies show that that alignment of that smooth, easy heartbeat and therefore brain waves improves your cognitive ability. It improves your perception and your attention and your problem solving. And it also evokes a sense of peace and well-being by changing your heart rhythms. And so you hear people say when someone is stressed out, take a breath. Literally, take a breath actually works. And I know that they are teaching kids to do that in schools, elementary school. Stop and take a breath and take a few deep breaths because that slows our heartbeat down. That smooths out the heart rhythms and makes us more rational. It calms our emotions and allows us to think more clearly and to come up with creative solutions. Think about it. If you are in a fight with your spouse and you get upset, is all you can think about is what a jerk they are, how they never listen to you, how whatever. You're going to leave the relationship, whatever the thoughts continue to go on. And it's, you know, you have to take a break and remove yourself to calm down so your heart starts being calmer again, your body becomes calmer again. Then all of a sudden you think of all sorts of things that you didn't think of when you were in that state of frustration, anger. Oh, we're really on the same team. Oh, I really want both of us to be happy in this relationship, not just me. Oh, we start coming up with ways that we might compromise and things that might work because we start thinking rationally again. Our brain works better when our heartbeat is slow and even like that. And so I would like to share two tools with you out of this book that you can do anytime you are feeling anxious or you are feeling stressed out or overwhelmed. And so I invite you to close your eyes. I'd love to give you a tool to take home. So this is called The Power of Neutral. It teaches us to use the rhythmic power of our heart to bring our mind, emotions, and physiology into a state of neutral. That lessens or stops anxiety triggers. And so what this tool is to take a time out and to breathe slowly and deeply. Imagine the air entering and leaving through your heart. And just continue to breathe in and out of your heart or the very center of your chest. And when you are stressed out, the tool is to disengage from the stressful thoughts and just continue to breathe. Breathing in and out of your heart until you have neutralized the emotional charge. The second tool is called attitude breathing. Attitude breathing is a tool designed to help you shift out of a negative emotional state and into a positive one. And so what you do first is recognize an unwanted attitude or feeling that you want to change. It could be anxiety or self-judgment or guilt or anger or anything. So what you do is identify what it is that you want to release and breathe in a replacement attitude. You select a positive attitude to breathe in as you breathe out the negative attitude. So you breathe out stress and breathe in neutral to chill out and revitalize. Breathe out stress and breathe in neutral. Breathe out anxious and breathe in calm. Breathe out anxious and breathe in calm. Breathe out overwhelm. And breathe in ease and peace. Breathe out overwhelm and breathe in ease and peace. Breathe out fogginess or confusion and breathe in neutral for clarity. Breathe out confusion and bring in, breathe in neutral. Breathe out angry. Breathe in neutral. Breathe out upset. Breathe in neutral. Breathe out judgmental and breathe in tolerance or compassion. Breathe out judgmental and breathe in tolerance or compassion. And I invite you to open your eyes. How does that feel? An easy tool to use? So you can use that tool, either one of those or both of those, anytime you feel stressed out. Anytime you want to feel safe and peaceful and have a sense of ease and step out of the anxiousness. Those are tools that you can use to feel peaceful and to think clearly and to open yourself to your own innate knowing, to your intuition. And so my invitation to you this week is to use both of those tools. Practice them. They're super easy. And secondly, the invitation is to remind yourself that that infinite intelligence of the universe is right at the center of your life. It's at the center of the strife. It's at the center of everything that's going on. God, universal intelligence, the almighty, all power, all love, all good presence is right here, right now, in the midst of what's going on. Remind yourself of that. Remind yourself that evolution is taking place by means of this difficulty. That's how we are evolving collectively, by people saying, no, this cannot happen. That's what's going on. Evolution is taking place. Know that this is moving us too, and trust that Spirit is here now, active in your life and active in the world. Engage your faith. Tagore, who was a 19th century Indian poet, said, "Faith is the bird that feels the dawn when it is still dark." Faith is the bird that feels the dawn when it's still dark. Bring your faith forward, knowing that the infinite one is present here, and feel that and know that. That calls it forward. And that third is to practice heart coherence. That's what they call that at the Heart Math Institute. When your brain and your heart are in sync in a smooth, harmonious fashion, and you practice that through love and care and compassion and kindness and appreciation, that creates heart coherence. So then we are in those harmonious rhythms. Breathe out stress. Breathe in peace. Breathe in calm. Breathe in ease. Let go your anxiousness. And as a result of practicing those three things, you will not be acting as a part of the problem, but you will be acting as part of the solution. Part of creating the world that we want to live in. You will be part of the solution because you will be being love and peace and wisdom. And so I'd like to close with a reading from the Science of Mind textbook by Ernest Holmes. He says, "In all, over all, and through all, talk, live, act, believe, and know that you are a center in this one. All the power there is, all the presence there is, all the love there is, all the peace there is, all the good there is, and the only God there is omnipresent. Consequently, the infinite is in and through man and is in and through everything. Act as though I am, and I will be. Act as though God already is present, and I will be." That's how we bring that presence forward in our life. So act as though, and then go out and act as if you are an emissary of that one. Then you'll be dropping the anchor, and then you will be a force for good and be the change that we wish to see in the world. And so blessings to all of you and gratitude to each one of you for walking this path and your willingness to be the presence and to drop your anchor when times are challenging. So blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in a spiritual mind treatment. Oh, and so how good it is to breathe into this God space. How good it is to answer that call of my own heart and soul to remember, to become a member in God yet once again as I step back into center, as I step back into the place within me that knows that there is only one, that knows that I am a part of that life of God, and that knows that God is everywhere present. And so that is what I know and what I see and what I sense and what I feel in this instant is that God is everywhere present. Infinite intelligence, boundless love, good beyond measure, order and harmony and love, that this presence and principle is everywhere that I look, and my seeing it calls it forward. My seeing it brings it to life and gives it life. My seeing it creates an opening within me for it to unfold in a greater degree. And so I recognize, and we each recognize right now, that that one presence is unfolding itself everywhere. It is downloading itself right now through the hearts and minds of every single individual in this world. That it is unfolding itself in our lives and in our hearts and in our homes and in our places of work and in everything that we do. And so I know that we are absolutely guided and led, that we are guarded, that we are safe at all times, and that we are here bringing that presence into this world in a most miraculous and healing way. And so I know that that is also the truth for every person in this world. We are each bringing that divine presence forward in a way that is healing, in a way that unfolds good, in a way that makes love and oneness and unity real. And so I am grateful for this truth. I am grateful to be in recognition of this. And so I say thank you, God, for this truth. And so I release this prayer into that infinite law of the universe, knowing that it is already done because it is the truth. And so we just rest in truth, hold our attention there, and allow that to unfold. And I say, thank you, God, and so it is.